Hello, welcome to Spotlight, shining on the racetrack of creativity.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we look forward to another great event on the local arts calendar in Cluniac, and also what promises to be a fascinating evening about life for Allied POWs captured in Germany in World War II, with readings of some of their poetry written whilst incarcerated there. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpted, drag, film, mime, social media, all the others. Email spotlight@manxradio.com or Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. Always delighted to hear from you no matter what it is, and it'd be great to feature on the programme. What are you waiting for? So we're already almost halfway through the year. Where does the time go? I'm sure it goes faster the older you get. Which means we're rapidly heading towards one of the island's great Celtic gatherings, namely in Cluniac. I dropped by Culture Vannon's HQ in St John's, where Dr Chloe Woolley told me more about this year's event.
In Cluniac, Celtic gatherings taking place 22nd to 28th of July, but tickets are now available.
OK, so give us a little brief rundown, because I think people are fairly familiar with it. It's been going for how many years first? I remember going when I was in my 20s, if not younger.
That's right. Well, it's 1978, officially the first in Cluniac. So, yeah, we're looking at, I think it's the 47th festival.
And has it evolved a lot over the years, do you think?
Definitely, yes. Yeah. Moved with the times. Used to be in Ramsey. Everyone remembers the early days in the big tent, big marquee.
And the survivors, Kayleigh.
The survivors, yes, yeah. But now mainly based in Peel, but we've got events in Douglas as well. And yeah, kind of like Celtic city vibe now with Peel being its home.
And do you think the audience, because originally I suppose it was very much sort of perhaps a bit more cliquey maybe, now I think it seems to be fairly broad church and that it attracts all sorts of people.
Yeah, we get all sorts, as you say, all ages. We try to cater for all tastes. So we've got lots of song events, but we've got trad music sessions, workshops, dance displays, poetry, arts and crafts, a bit of everything.
And who works out the programme? Is this done by committee or just by yourself, or how does that work?
Oh no, thankfully not just me. No, we've got a strong volunteer committee and we meet as regularly as we can. And we 6 months in advance, we do try and pin down the headline acts anyway that we want to get over to the Isle of Man. So this year, we're very, very excited that we're starting off the week with Heisk, which is Isla Collister's band. Now, Isla Collister's Manx fiddle player, now based in Glasgow. And this is an all-female group. They are like making big waves in the Celtic music scene. So very excited that they're opening the evening of Monday, the 22nd of July. And we've got Elizabeth Davidson-Blythe and Daniel Quayle on that night as well, who are a Manx duo. So a very Manx and Scottish opening to the festival. And we actually close with a Scottish star as well, Duncan Chisholm, who's one of the leading fiddle players in Scotland, who's coming with Ross Ainslie and Hamish Napier, who are also very well known in Celtic music circles. And during the week, we'll also have some Breton singers. We've got Brigitte and Catel Clureg from Brittany, and that's a mother and daughter duo. And they sing a cappella for Fesnos Dancing, which is very exciting. So that's something everyone could get involved in.
Now, is that the dancing where you just link little fingers or something? I remember doing Breton dancing in the past, which used to be very popular because you all literally sort of hook little fingers.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, the more the merrier. Like, yeah, get hundreds up on the dance floor if need be. Particularly our Mega Manx Kayleigh, which is going to be in Peel Cathedral this year.
So I was going to say the Kayleighs are still a major part of it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we're having the Mega Manx this year is going to be in the cathedral, and that's sponsored by Fnordry Distillery, who could have a bar in there, which would be great.
Sounds dangerous.
Oh, I know. Earlier on in the week, we have another family-oriented Kayleigh. We're actually going to celebrate Arthur Kayleigh's 200th birthday with the Arthur Kayleigh Giant Band birthday gaily. So that's going to have a circus theme, in case anyone is partial to dressing up. So, So that's going to be in the Wednesday evening in Peel Masonic. Mm-hmm. Also during the week, we've got other concerts in the Centenary Centre. We'll have Katie Lawrence launching her new tune book, which will be coming out especially for the festival. And she's going to invite some of her students, past and present, to come and join her on stage, and a few friends to play her compositions, which people who play Manx music will know that she's written loads of really good tunes that have kind of embedded in the tradition now. During the week, we'll also have the Len Collective, which is an Irish group who are based in around the Cobblestone pub in Dublin, which is a very well-known pub there. And they're going to be performing at various venues during the week, and they're also going to play a few tunes for a little four-piece of dancers from Dublin as well, called Cailí Le Cailia. And it's like a community club that they're all Irish Gaelic speakers, and they're going to come over and do a few, lead a few set dances in Irish. During the week, we've also got a special concert called about the Celtic Seasons. And this is going to be a variety of acts from the Isle of Man, but some of our visitors as well. And this was inspired by the Ian O'Leary lecture that's going to take place on the Thursday. And we've invited Brigitte Clureg to give this lecture about St. Bridget in Brittany. And of course, we've got lots of references to Brigia here in the Isle of Man, and we have our songs and traditions. So she's going to give a talk about that, which is going to lead later on that evening into a exploration of the Celtic seasons through the different Celtic nations. So that should be very exciting.
Is that sort of because it's all about the Celtic nations and such like? It seems to me that they're stronger than ever these days, the sort of interest in Celtic nations and in fact the desire to get together and sort of celebrate the culture.
Yeah, and in the Isle of Man, I think we're particularly good at it, aren't we, with our Hopchine and Hunt the Wren. I think some of the other nations are actually looking and saying, oh, well, you know, this we have that as well, and reviving certain traditions. Of course, Cornwall have got their own peculiar traditions, and Wales. So during the evening, we'll have a little taste of the what happens in those nations throughout the year, which will be great. Saturday, we have a lovely gathering in the cathedral grounds, and we'll have a big craft fair in the Corrin Hall, and we'll have recitals going on in the cathedral from 11:30 till 4:00. And on that final weekend, we're collaborating with Peel Sea Fest, which is based down at the Sailing Club. So we're going to have some music and dance going on.
Marvellous.
Around there. And we've also got lots of little fringe events happening with our festival friends. We've got lunchtime sessions at Noah Market Hall, Monday to Friday from 1:00. Different Celtic nation every day. So it's worth going all week having a lunch there.
Yeah, been to a few of those. Very good.
They're lovely, aren't they? We've got lunchtime performances and workshops at the House of Manannan. And we're very pleased that Soundcheck Charity have sponsored the educational angle. So every day at 12:00, there's going to be a workshop free to attend of some kind. And we've also got lots of events happening down at Black Dog. And also, we've collaborated with Shore Slant for the Sailor Shelter Wednesday Night Folk Club. So we are all over Peel. Miller's Tale, there'll be some sessions. White House, of course. You won't be able to miss Incrunnict.
Won't be able to move for Crunnick going on left, right and centre. Brilliant stuff. Is there a programme? It's normally a programme out of activities.
We will have it out very, very soon. We're just fine-tuning all of the intricacies of the lineup. But you can buy tickets go to CelticGathering.im, and there's a ticket button there. You can either buy individual tickets for all the ticketed events. There's absolutely tons of free events as well. And to get a bargain, you can get a festival pass for £60, which gets into everything.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's very good value because I think you save about £17. And they are limited edition, so quite a few people have bought those already. but snap them up very soon.
And is it a sort of a fourth bridge job, the chronic? Is it a case of, right, one chronic finishes, you have a few weeks off, then you start sort of looking at, right, what are we going to do next year?
Pretty much, yes, yes. Yeah, we've already got ideas for next year, which, yeah, we have to plant the seeds and then, but also there's lots of, like, last-minute things as well that we throw in and go, oh, yeah, we've still got time to do that. We'll also have a film night as well, which we're in collaboration with Films in Peel. So we're working on that at the moment, and we're hoping to show The Camino Voyage, which is an Irish Gaelic film about a boat crossing from Ireland over to Galicia with a bunch of traditional musicians on board. So that should be a very interesting watch.
Brilliant. It sounds really good. Looking forward to already. Programme, look out for that. That should be out in the next couple of weeks.
Yes. And we'll have them on Timmel Day. So go along to the Incrinic stall and you can buy some merch, your T-shirts and sunglasses, and pick up a programme there.
Brilliant. And we might catch up with you a little closer to the time to see if there's any last-minute changes or see how things are going. Lovely. Thank you.
Go ahead.
It's always great fun, something for everyone. Rumour has it, the wonderful shanty group Minds Ashanti also singing at a couple of Crunyuk events in Peel, including the Song Night at the Masonic Hall. Not that I'm biased. Loads of other wonderful events and acts, of course, as we have heard, all sorts of music, workshops, etc. Great value if you get that festival bus. What are you waiting for?
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Before we know it, Litfest 24 will be upon us, but the festival organisers, keen to try to spread word-based events through the year these days to share the love and passion for the written word. And with that in mind, there's what's sure to be a fascinating event coming up at the end of June in an equally evocative setting, namely the wonderful Aviation and Military Museum next to the airport. Dr. Stacey Astill will give a talk about the day-to-day life of Allied POWs who had been captured in Germany during the last war, which will be interspersed with performances of some of the poems the men had written whilst incarcerated in the German camps. I asked Stacey how she'd come to study and write about this fascinating aspect of both history and culture.
So I am a researcher. My PhD was in the experience of Allied Anglophone prisoners of war held in Europe during World War II.
Slips off the tongue, yeah?
It's just a little bit of a mouthful. But basically, my focus is people like the Manx prisoners who were captured and held in Germany during the war. So one of the parts of that has been reading a lot of wartime diaries and journals, and these are the ones that were written in the camps. I've found these a great source of research material generally, but one of the things that's really struck me is the amount of poetry in them. And these poems were not just in one diary, you'd find them in a whole range of different ones. And I think that's what's so fascinating about it. These poems were written because of an experience they were all going through, which made them very, very relatable to a lot of the different men. So you kind of see some of them popping up again and again. And the other thing I find really interesting about them is just how much you can get from a poem. So I have some men that will write in their logs every single day, just little bits of information about the camp. But sometimes with these poems, you can just get so much more out of them. They describe a lot more. They talk about the frustrations or the positive bits, the entertainment. And you just get so much information from something that may seem simpler than a full log of diary entries, but tells you a lot.
Which camps are we talking about?
So there's a whole range of different ones across Europe. Basically, what we're looking at is Stalags, which are for other ranks officers. So this is anyone below the rank of non-commissioned officers. So we have camps like Stalag 8B, which is one of the biggest, more famous ones that you might have heard of as Lambsdorff. We also have Stalag Lufts, which were for airmen. So you've probably heard those in relation to the Great Escape, Stalag Luft 3, Stalag Luft 1. And we also have Marlags in some cases, and these were the naval camps. And then there's also Oflags, which are officers' camps. And in some cases, we have the Italian camps as well, which will be the PG camps.
What drew you, or what was the fascination for you in this particular work? Because it's, I suppose we hear sometimes on the Isle of Man, people like, you know, the Amadeus Quartet, I think, got together over here when they were interned, and Kurt Schwitters was here, and you quite often hear this. What sort of drew you into this particular sphere for research?
Yes, so internment would have been a much easier topic than prisoners of war, because obviously there's so many resources over here and the camps were here. But actually, this was something that began during my master's, which was way back in I think 2011 it would have been, when I took a small deviation and I decided that I was going to do one very quick conference paper on the experience of Manx prisoners of war. The 129th Battery were all captured on Crete during the fall of Crete, which meant that a huge chunk of them were all taken off to prisoner of war camps. And I thought, oh, this will be interesting. And it was. So I had a very brief look into it and then decided that actually I wasn't going to study what I was planning on studying anymore, and I was studying this. I went on and did my master's dissertation on it, and then also ended up doing a PhD on it, and still haven't stopped because it just really fascinates me. So I don't look at just the Manx experience anymore, but a whole range of experiences of men from all over the world who were the Allied Anglophone prisoners.
And I suppose in many ways, in such a stressful environment, in the place where you're living, like I said, you're imprisoned, you really don't know, I suppose, what your life expectancy is going to be. It's a release valve in many ways. You assume a lot of the poetry is going to be quite sort of soul-searching and sort of, I don't know, maybe life-enhancing or looking at your own life. Is the humour there as well?
Oh, absolutely. And humour is such an important part. Humour is a massive coping mechanism in a whole range of different walks of life, but it was very much a case amongst the prisoners as well. On the Manx website, where you can look up the papers, the ones from the Eye Museum and libraries, there's actually an account from one guy who's writing letters home, and then they're being published in the papers. And he writes about how he's done a talk on Manx folklore and the Isle of Man is a tourism destination, and therefore the tourism board owes a few guineas to the prisoner of war fund and things like this. So there's very much an element of jokiness that comes through. There's comments such as things along the lines of, no, I'm not lonely, there's 2,000 men in camp and all of them live in my room. There's very much a joking tone to it, because I'm not sure how else they would have coped, to be honest.
Absolutely. And any particular favourites sort of poetry-wise would come up over the research?
Oh, there's some absolutely fantastic ones. There's some I really love to hate. So there's the poems To My Daddy and A Child's Soliloquy, and both of these are written from the perspective of a child. So we get some wonderful kind of touches in them, which I truly, truly hate. But they're fantastic for telling you about what the men were thinking about and what was being considered by them. And then one of my very favourites is called Jerry Soup. And this is just all about how awful the food was in the camps. So it's all about all the terrible things he's eaten in his life, but none of them are anywhere near as bad as the soup that they were being given by the Germans.
Is it possible to sort of see what happened to any of the men after the war?
Yep. So some of the men I actually researched, I got to interview, which was fantastic. So I managed to do a range of interviews with various ex-prisoners. Some people, their diaries have just kind of come to various areas such as the Imperial War Museum, due to them sadly passing away, but some of them donated them before that happened. There's obviously not a huge amount of men still alive, sadly, now, but you can tend to find some information about them with searching. Not all of them, but some.
It sounds like there could be actually a whole book in this.
Oh, yes. I mean, my PhD was about 100,000 words on the topic, but one of the things I've always really thought would be interesting to do was write to all of the addresses that are in the wartime logs and tell them a little bit about the experience of the men. But that's probably a project for another day, with a lot more stamps available.
So the evening itself, what format will it take?
So the evening itself is going to be a combination of me enthusing about prisoner of war experience and telling you a little bit about that, but I'm going to intersperse that with poetry. Now, very kindly, some people from Labyrinth, which is the Manx National Heritage group of performers, have agreed to come along and be my poets and performers for the evening. So we're going to try and make those poems quite interactive and engaging for the audience. And I'm using those poems to structure my talks, to tell you a little bit about them, provide a little bit of context for what the prisoners are saying.
So could we perhaps hear one or two of the poems that you found in your research?
Yeah, so I'll give you some exclusives. So these aren't going to be read on the night. These are just ones that I have in my stash. So the first one I'm going to read you is Deutschbrot. The staff of life, the food of men, differs in every nation. In German land, a distinct brand has sprung into creation. The wrapper's shy and piled up high resembles from a distance. Some blocks of brick, dark brown and thick, remarking its resistance. We find it true this dark brown hue has strength, without a question, to bounce back and shake and never break, which is the prime intention. Cut as thin as tin, toast hard as sin, is now the Kriegi fashion. One loaf per man, margarine and jam help make our weekly ration. It's always good, like age-old wood, but just in case possesses its date of birth stamped on the top, this fact to world confesses. Heavy and hard, with pasty taste, we thankful that these tables graced with what we have and pray the Lord, may he see fit to give us more. And this is from Richard Hayes, Prisoner of War Journal, and was basically about how awful the bread was. So although they did get a bread ration, it was German rye bread, which was also largely sawdust. Or had a high sawdust component. So it was often very unpleasant and unpalatable, despite the fact they were getting loaves of bread to share between them.
Yeah, you can imagine. And you can imagine in that sort of scenario, yeah, food is going to be all important, isn't it? There's not going to be much of it, and it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be the first thing you're thinking about, really, particularly when it's rubbish.
Absolutely, yes.
Do we have another?
We do indeed. So this one is actually from a gentleman called Frank Stebbing, who was pretty prolific in the camps with writing. You'll see his in a lot of other people's logs attributed to him, and you'll also see it in some of the newspapers. So Frank Stebbing is the usual attribution for these. And this poem is called Old Folks, and I just think it's very sweet because it shows they weren't just thinking of themselves, but those at home as well. Lord, keep the old folks safe from fear at home while I am over here. I pray that you would let them know I wear their hearts where'er I go. Let war and death be in their eyes a thing of heroes' paradise. May they not fear the naked rain, nor guess the actual hurt of pain. Do blind their hearts to thirst and cold, for Lord, they are so sweet and old. Tell them I stride with vigorous breath. They need not know the weight of death, nor need they sense the truth of strife. They have so little left of life. Lord, bless tonight the ancient beds where wakeful toss their dear old heads, and tell them not to worry, for I'm coming back some day from war. Do comfort them, and pleasingly keep them alive, dear Lord, for me.
And you're right, it is. I mean, it's very tongue-in-cheek and sort of quite cheeky, but it's the fact that, you know, this is someone, as you say, was a prisoner of war at the time. He didn't know how long he was going to survive realistically, or whether he would survive. And as you say, he's actually writing about, well, you know, a totally different topic to just writing about his own plight. So it takes a lot of character, I think, in many ways.
Yes, I think it was so interesting. And there's lovely poems as well about loved ones back at home and things like that. Those are just some funny ones. But obviously, as you can imagine, I've picked most of my favourites for the night, so I don't want to give them away too early.
Absolutely. As you say, they're exclusive. So the night itself, the all-important question, what, where, when, and how do people get tickets?
So it's on June the 29th at 5:30, and we're actually going to be having this at the Manx Aviation and Military Museum, which I'm very excited about. They've kindly allowed us there. It's a fantastic little museum and free as well, if anybody wants to go along in advance. The only thing with tickets now, sadly, is I'm afraid that we're actually sold out.
Wow.
Which is fantastic news, but we do have a wait list. So if anybody would like to sign up for the wait list, which also helps us see if there's enough interest to provide another event, then please do feel free to go to ticketsource.co.uk and then /Manx Lit Fest. And as we say, please do register if you are interested, because if somebody drops out, you may be able to get a ticket. Or if not, we know that there's interest to pop this event on again. And I'd also just like to take the opportunity to thank Manx Lit Fest for working in partnership with me on this one. They're very interested in running more events through the year. So if anybody has an idea for something that they'd like to run, or if they have a space they'd like to offer, or both, then please do get in touch with them as well. They're very interested to be putting more on.
Terrific. Very best of luck. I know you won't need it. It sounds like a great night, already sold out. And we look forward to maybe more, because it sounds like there's definitely an appetite for it. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Perhaps it's not surprising that event is already sold out. Sounds fascinating. I'm sorry I'm missing it. You can, of course, as she said, try your luck at getting any return tickets. That's about it for this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to maxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it whilst out dodging bikes on the promenade? But carefully, I would add. see you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, watch those bikes, whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.